The darkness of this world is so deceiving and so powerful that it can literally keep someone in darkness for all eternity. Think about that. All eternity.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for joining us for our Friday broadcast. Pastor Bill's study from Ephesians continues today with the message titled, Walk in the Light. Now let's join Pastor.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're in Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 5, and we will be beginning there in verse 8 in just a few minutes. Remember that when we entered chapter 5, we entered the lifestyle now of the believer. You know, the first three chapters were doctrine. Now the last three chapters are the application. Now we're learning, as it says in Ephesians 4:1, we're learning to walk worthy of our calling. Remember that word worthy is a picture of a set of scales with weights, so 5 pounds on one side, 5 pounds on the other. In other words, equal. So we're equal in doctrine, equal in application. We're hearers of the Word of God. We're doers of the Word of God. Now, the last time that we were together, you know, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, the loved ones of God. So we know that God is love and we walk in love. That's the perfect thing for every Christian to do. Amen? But now we move out from love. We move into something else. Believers also walk in light. The Bible says that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So talking about walking in the light this morning, look at verse 8 with me as we begin. It says, for you, you believers and those at Ephesus 2,000 years ago, for you were once darkness. Everyone say that word once with me. Once. I love that word once. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It also told us in another chapter that we once did something else, that we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air who works and gives energy to the sons of disobedience. Listen to me now. You are light in the Lord. Amen? Listen, the very first day when you opened your mouth and said, Jesus, be my Lord, wherever it was, it could be in a Sunday school classroom, you were listening on the radio, a beach in Florida like me, whatever, wherever you were. But the moment you said, oh Lord Jesus, save me, be the Lord of my life, go come live in me, I believe in my heart, I confess now with my mouth. That very moment you became, you didn't know it, you became light in the Lord. What a glorious word. I mean, you were in darkness. I mean, consumed in darkness just like I was. Didn't know it. And immediately you were light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, your lifestyle. Walk as children of the light. So for you, where does that do? That takes us back, remember, to last Sunday, the very last verse, which would be verse 7. Where it tells us not to be partakers with them, meaning the sons of disobedience, those who walk in darkness, those who the wrath of God abides on them. And so he says, don't join in, don't be in partners with their sin or their guilt, or don't get involved with their darkness again or their everlasting punishment. So he says, for you were, past tense, once skotos in the Greek, you were darkness. Now listen, Adam's sin put out mankind's light there in the garden at the fall. Amen? Now, we were once in the spiritual state of darkness, but literally deeper than that, not just in it, we were darkness. What a word. We were darkness. And as it says over, we've already covered it. The understanding of our minds empty, our hearts were numb, and we were blinded and so forth. And we were living and walking in darkness, but not anymore. Jesus said in John 12:46, I've come as a light unto the world, that whoever believes in me, and that's what we did. We believed in the Lord. And he says, should not abide, should not live or dwell in darkness. You ever wonder why, before we were born again, why darkness? I mean, we didn't understand it. We didn't know we were living in darkness, and we certainly didn't know that we were darkness. But the Bible says in John 3:19, it says, and this is condemnation, Jesus said. He said that light has come into the world, meaning Jesus, and men love darkness. They love darkness rather than light. Isn't it amazing that even right now, we live in a world that is completely filled with people who unknowingly, just like us before we were saved, who unknowingly love darkness. They feel comfortable in darkness. Why is that? It's because darkness is all that they've ever known. They're lost. They're in Adam. It doesn't mean that they go out and shoot people. It doesn't mean that they rob banks. You know, they're hard workers. They pay their taxes, but they don't know that they are in darkness. Here's the problem. They have never known anything else but darkness. They have never experienced light, meaning the light that Christ gives unto us. And they unknowingly did something else, just like we did. They found their pleasure. They found their joy in darkness. And they certainly didn't know that they unknowingly embraced Satan's world system. They had absolutely no idea. Matter of fact, the darkness of this world, when we get over into Ephesians 6, we're going to really study that out. The darkness of this world is so deceiving and so powerful that it can literally keep someone in darkness for all eternity. Think about that. All eternity. Jesus told us in Matthew 8:12, he says, you know, he called hell, he said, it is a place of outer darkness. I don't know what that is, and I don't want to know what that is, and we will never know what that is. Amen? Hey, praise God. We could all say praise God to that. Amen? Yes. See, in reality, there are only two kinds of people on this planet, all right? Only two, as we already know, those that are in Adam, those that are in Christ, those that are dwelling in darkness, those that are dwelling in light. And there is only one way, one person who can get us out of the darkness of this world when we were lost, and that is Jesus Christ. Remember what it says in Colossians 1:13, that he has delivered us, he has rescued us out from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his light. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have been deported out of darkness? Amen. That's right. That's it. Well, I have one amen, two amen. Give me three amens. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're out of that. And you know what? We were being held once. That's a good word. Once, but not anymore. We were held captive by the devil. We didn't know that. No, but you know what? It was impossible for us to get out of that because we didn't know we were in it. But Jesus, when we turned to him, man, he delivered us. He rescued us. You remember Paul the apostle. Remember, God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And as he was standing before King Agrippa and he was explaining everything to him, Paul told him the good news and what Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, what he'd called him to do. So in Acts chapter 27, verse 18, he says, King Agrippa, that God has sent me to open their eyes in order to turn them, here it comes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and the reason that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. It is absolutely impossible for someone who is lost to treat darkness as something that is weird or strange because their eyes are not open. The devil has blinded their minds. And so, you know, it says, yes, we were once darkness. You know, I nearly just did a whole sermon on that one word. Once darkness, I like it so well. You know, do you believe, let's talk about miracles just for a moment. What is really the greatest miracle that you have ever seen. They're few and far between, by the way. I mean, the raising of the dead, you know, something like that. Lazarus come forth. That's a miracle. Amen? Hey, that's right. But the greatest miracle is literally the new birth. The new birth. And the reason I say that is because you were nekros. That's a Greek word. It means dead. It means you were a corpse. I was a corpse. It means you had no feeling to spiritual things at all. You were spiritually dead, okay? In trespasses and sins. You were alienated from God. You were without God. You were without any of the covenants. You were without hope. You were without strength, just like I was. And then all of a sudden, Jesus be my Lord. And what happened? Boom. Immediately you were saved. Immediately you were sealed with the Spirit. Immediately you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Immediately you were accepted in Christ. Do you understand? Amen. Immediately. And then immediately you became the sons and daughters of light. Immediately. Now, I don't know about you. That's a miracle, man. That's a miracle. I mean, heaven is now our home. We are not in darkness, and we don't live in darkness, and we will never be in darkness again because we are in the light. Does that make sense? Amen. Listen, it says, but now, look at it, you, right this minute, it says you were once, past tense, darkness. Now, present tense, now, you are light in the Lord, and here's what we should do. Look at our lifestyle. Walk as children of light. What does that mean? It means you now can, by God's power and His grace, your sonship, daughtership, you can now manifest who you really are. Your light in the Lord. Look at that word, walk as what? Adults? Walk as what? I can hear you through your mask. Walk as children. Walk as children, look at it now, of light. Walk as God's offspring of light. Think about that. You are right this minute the offspring of light because you are now light in the Lord and you are partakers of His divine nature. You are His children. Remember there in the opening of the great Gospel of John. John the Apostle, he writes in John 1:4, he says, in Him, meaning in Jesus, in Him was life. And he says, and the life was the light of men. Think about that for a moment. In Jesus, life. The word is Zoe in the Greek, meaning God's kind of life. Meaning that Jesus was the sole creator. No, no, no. That is a wrong word. Life wasn't created through Him. No, life was what? In Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Life was in Him, meaning that Jesus Christ, our Lord, and He is the complete source of life for every living thing. And when you have His life, what happens? Look at it. I'm sorry, you don't have that scripture in front of you. In Him was life, and the life, His life, was the light of men. That means when His life is manifested, it always means light. When His life is manifested in you, you are now the light of the Lord. Does that make sense? Man, light in Christ alone. He's that true light, the Bible says. He says He's the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Remember why Jesus came? Many of the reasons. In Luke 1:79, it talks about the Lord when He comes. It says, and He came to give light to those who sit in darkness, the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We were just like those of old. We were sitting in darkness. We were living in darkness. We didn't know what darkness was. We didn't know that we were loving darkness. We had absolutely no idea. The only thing that we lived in is that scripture just said, the only light we had was a shadow. And that shadow was nothing but death. Thank God that we're not in that shadow anymore. Amen? Oh, no, we're so far removed from that. What did He come to do? To guide us, to guide our way into peace. Now listen to me. Now we are to walk worthy of our incredible calling that we have in Christ Jesus. And we need truly, truly to do something. We need to manifest who we really are in the Lord. And that is light. You remember Jesus there on the Sermon of the Mount speaking. He wasn't speaking to princes and kings and rulers. He was speaking to fishermen and tax collectors and farmers and so forth, poor people, peasant people. And he said in Matthew 5:14, and you are the light of the world. Can you imagine him? See him sitting there? Remember how it says he sat down and he opened his mouth and he taught them saying, you are, literally in the Greek it would be you and only you. You are the only light of the world. Do you think those people out there that, you know, maybe they were mending their nets while they were listening to the Lord, some of them going, I need to go plow, I don't know. And they're going, is he talking to me? I'm the light of the world, and I can assure that maybe a wife was with her husband, he turned, or never mind, I don't even want to go there. No, do you understand? Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and then he said something else. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now listen to me. We were once, past tense, darkness. Look who we are now in Christ. We are the light of the world. We are a city, if you will, the church, a city that sits upon the hill and nothing can ever hide it. No one can ever hide it because it belongs to God. Amen? And we are the only light that this generation is ever going to see. Jesus told us in John 8:12, he said this, he was speaking, remember, to the Pharisees right there by the temple, and he said, I am the light of the world. He said, he who follows me, he who travels with me, he who comes with me, who gets on the narrow road with me, he said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Think about that. We'll never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The word have there means to possess it eternally. Oh, listen, Jesus said to the entire world, to every generation, I am the only source of illumination on this planet and for every person in the world, and there is absolutely no other. And then he gives a personal promise from the lips of himself. And he says, if you follow me, listen, there's a promise. If you follow me, here's what's going to happen. You will never, no, never, no, never walk in darkness again. Amen? That's what he says. That's who we are. Now listen, so we are now the reflectors, if you will, of Jesus, his light. Of course, we go from glory to glory, but you know what? Our light should be shining at all times. So this is very important now. How does the light that we have in the Lord, that's in us, upon us even, how does it manifest itself to this world? Two ways. First, fruit. And then the second way is fruitfulness that we have to other people. Look at verse 9, the very, very important scripture. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in what kind of goodness? All goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. Now listen, it says the fruit of the Spirit. It should read not spirit. It should be the fruit of light. Okay? The fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What does that tell us? Number one, fruit bearing. Is fruit bearing a process? Okay. It's a hard church this morning. If I go to the nursery and I buy a peach tree, and I bring that peach tree home and I plant it, I dig the hole, I put it in there, I water it, whatever you do to a peach tree. Now, and I go to sleep that night, and I wake up the next morning, and I go outside. How many peaches are on that tree? Who said 10? There's not going to be any peaches on that tree. But is it a fruit tree? Is it a peach tree? Okay, a peach tree's nature is to produce peaches, fruit. Okay, we are light in the Lord. Our nature is to be fruitful. Our nature is to produce what? Produce fruit, meaning light. Not only that, but what light does. Look at it, the fruit of light. There's a fruit there. Matter of fact, listen to me now. That tells us something about this verse. See, if fruit bearing is a process, then this verse is speaking of our sanctification, isn't it? Yes, because sanctification, unlike justification, one-time act, Sanctification is an ongoing process by which we are being transformed, amen, into the very image of Christ, where we go from glory to glory to glory, okay? So we bear more fruit and more fruit and more fruit. We start looking more like Jesus, acting more like Jesus, thinking more like Jesus as we go down the road in the Christian walk. So with all that being said, this verse is very, very important because it says there, look at it, the fruitful is goodness, righteousness, truth. What did Jesus tell us again in Matthew 5:14? You're the light of the world. You're a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden. He says, nor do you light your lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And the purpose of that light, the fruitfulness of light, it says, is to give light to all, everybody that's in the house. He says, let your light so shine before men. Let means you have to do that. Let that happen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How does that happen? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. First, let's just look at truth. In 3 John, I haven't read 3 John in 100 years. 3 John 4, it says, I have no other joy, he writes, than to see my children walk in truth. What kind of truth? Meaning the contents of the Word of God. And let's take that word, let's take another word there, righteousness. What does that mean? This one just means you're the light of the world and you do the right thing. You walk like the Lord. 1 John 2:6, that he who says he abides in him, meaning Jesus, ought to walk even as he walked. But then it says all goodness. That word literally means all kindness, which is a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. It's love in action, like the Good Samaritan. Amen? It's like the Good Samaritan when he goes and he takes care of the one that's wounded on the side of the road. You know, these fruits, this all goodness, is something that we do, and our light just starts shining like you can't believe. Let me just do something for you. And write this scripture down. Study it when you get home. Let me just read a portion of Isaiah 58 about if that's the true fast of what God really wants. Listen to what God says. This is the Lord is speaking. He says, is that the fast I've chosen? And I don't have time to go into that. And he says, now, this is the fast that I want you to be under. He says, I don't want you to stop eating. Here's what he says. He says, I've chosen you to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Here it comes, this goodness again. He says, share your bread with the hungry. Bring those into your house that are poor, who are cast out. And when you see the naked, cover them. Don't hide yourself. He says, now listen, when you do that, watch. Then your light shall break forth, man, like the morning. Have you ever been on 820 driving into the sun? Huh? Do you just go, whoo? I mean, hello? I mean, this is what that's talking about. Your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Here comes the righteousness part that we're learning in verse 9. He says, your righteousness shall go before you because, see, you're doing what is right. You're walking as Jesus walked. He says, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then he says, God says, and you know what? You'll call and the Lord will answer. You're going to cry and he will say, here I am. You take away the yoke from your midst and pointing the finger and the speaking of the weakness. Extend your soul to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted. He says, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be at noonday. I can handle that. Your darkness shall be like it is at noon. Hello. And the Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul and drought. He'll strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. I don't think there's a better scripture or scriptures to explain verse 9. Amen. And then he says about us being the light of the Lord. He says, now do something else in verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That word acceptable means pleasing unto God. The word finding out literally in the Greek means putting it to the test, proving it your walk by experience, if you will.
Once again, we're out of time, but you can hear the remainder of this message on our Monday program. So please make a note to join us, won't you? Hey, and thanks everyone for listening with us today. We appreciate you so much. Have a great weekend, and so long for this week. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.